turn to the next book, the book of Philippians.
The church in Philippi is right here. Philippi is the first church.
Yes. I didn't tell you guys. Chapter 1, verse 23. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 23.
The church is the body of Christ.
Okay.
Any question about the book of Ephesians 2? Once again, we only have one session. We cannot cover everything. But there are so many good teachings. So next year, come again. Preacher Stephen will teach you about the book of Ephesians. Using 10 lessons, more than 10 lessons, I can go much deeper. But this time, just give you the overview, right? Okay, so Philippians. The church in Philippi was established by Paul during his second missionary trip. It was recorded in Acts chapter 16. Before that chapter, we were reading, he was having some plan for to travel more in this region, but the Holy Spirit did not allow. So Holy Spirit keep changing the direction until he one night had a dream. What did he saw in the dream? A Macedonian. How do you know he's a Macedonian? I guess Macedonian dressed differently. So in the dream he saw, oh, he's a Macedonian. Calling for help, coming for help. There's a hymn in Chinese, I think it's English too, right? Macedonian. Which hymn is that? Dun, 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 dun. Do you know that hymn?
Yeah.
Is it?
Huh? Where? Which one?
If we study the book of Philippians, we have to sing this hymn. Dun, 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 dun. 11? $284. It's okay, later I find it. If I find it, tell me the next lesson, huh? Number 11? Is it Macedonian? Why so many different hymns? 284 verse 2? Okay, later we sing it now. The 284, send the light? No, but not this hymn. Dong 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 dong
dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong
dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong dong. So today, that city, what is the name called? There's a city. Yeah, Constantinople. There's a city. Today is called Constantinople. But they cross over here. The first stop is Philippi. When Paul reached a new town, he always tried to find the Jewish community there first. Because Paul himself is a Jew. He loves his people. He tried to preach to the Jewish. But when he reached Philippi, he find no synagogue. Synagogue is the place where Jews keep Sabbath. Wherever Jewish community, there should be a synagogue. But probably in Philippi, the Jewish community is not big enough to have its own synagogue. So a group of women was having Sabbath worship beside the river. So Paul joined their worship, and Paul preached to them, and God opened their heart, and one lady received the word. What's her name called? Lydia. Lydia was the first member in Europe, the first Christian in Europe. So from Lydia, and then also the jailer was also become a believer. So the church was in Philippi was firmly established. And Paul has a very strong connection with this church, because this church always provided for Paul, care about Paul, love Paul very much. So Paul, even in his prison, remember Paul is writing a couple books in prison, Philippines is one of them, right? Philippines is one of them. Also efficient. Also, Philippines is one of them. So, in prison, Paul is still thinking about and missing about the church in Philippi. Therefore, he wrote this book to encourage them. And of course, he heard that he started to have a little bit of problem between some key workers there. So he's trying to encourage them to be in one mind. So that is the motive of writing the letter. The theme verse of the book is in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Next. Rejoice in the Lord is the theme of the book. Paul himself, he was in prison. How many of you have been to prison before? I was in prison. I was visiting people in prison, actually. I went to a prison in Kenya. I went to a prison in South Africa to visit some truth seeker. So, in prison, now I think the prison actually is very civilized, right? So, but a lot of metal gates, from the moment I arrived at the main entrance until I see the inmates, I think I passed 6 or 7 gates, different place people have to unlock it for you. So it's not just like no freedom inside, and everyone wear orange, whole body wear orange garment in South Africa. So inside is not a nice place to stay. But 2,000 years ago, the prison in the Roman era is quite different than today's prison. I heard that enough in Europe, some prison are just like hotel in Norway or Sweden. Prison, their gym, their personal TV, nice room, nice meal. So many people like to stay in prison. Some even rob the convenience store. People, the police ask him, why do you want to rob the convenience store? For nothing. I said, I want to go to prison. I don't want to earn money. I want to eat free food. So, but anyway, 2,000 years ago, the prison is significantly different. First, it was underground. Have you seen the picture before? That's like a dungeon. They dig underground to lock up prisoner. Underground, this means it's very dark, always very dark, with only maybe a candlelight. It is wet, it could be hot, so it's an unpleasant place. And Paul was being chained. When Paul, can you imagine, when Paul was writing these letters, his hand probably, or his feet probably, was chained by the stone or by a pole, and he cannot even walk around freely. And definitely there's no free time every day. Nowadays prison every day, you've got a few hours, you can go outside, breathe some fresh air. But Paul was locked up underground for a prolonged period of time. Why did he suffer all this? Because he preached the gospel. Yesterday you went out to preach the gospel, right? Did you? Or the other year, they went out to give out flyers, leaflets. In UK, in US, in Taiwan, I think we are very free to preach the gospel. But in some countries, not that free. You're not allowed to preach the gospel. I heard that in Malaysia, you're not allowed to go to the street and give leaflet to people. If you preach to a Muslim, they can report to the police. The police can catch you. So all the church leaflet have to say is only for Christian use only. You cannot preach to a Muslim. Otherwise, the government will persecute you. And recently in Sudan, have you heard about a case? There's a woman who is a Christian, who married a Christian. She was a Muslim before, and then she converted to Christian. And the government captured her and sentenced her to death. Was about to stone her to death. But luckily, international outcry, and then have pressure to the government, so the government dropped charges, and it flew over, I think, to the United States or something. But nowadays, some countries still give you persecution if you try to believe in Lord Jesus Christ. in Iraq or in Syria, there's still a lot of Christian community where they were being persecuted. So today we are very lucky. We come to ITTC, we go to church. But one day, according to the Bible, everywhere will be persecution. Okay, you want to maintain your faith? You have to be firm. But does it mean that when you are suffering, you have to cry, and complain? No. That's why from this book we must learn why Paul in a prison, but his heart is not locked up in prison. This is very important. Your physical body can be in prison, but your heart cannot be locked up. You may not be physically in prison today, but you may have difficulties. You may have some problems in your life, just like a prison. Some of your house may be, your family is not that happy family. Some of your family may be like a prison, right? Your mother, your father always fighting, just like a prison going home, right? Someone doesn't want to go home. Why? He said, my house like a prison. Every time I go home, my parents fighting. There's no love. Some maybe have a very bad relationship with the sibling, right? I go home like a prison. Or maybe when you are in sickness, you're lying on the hospital. You are like in a prison. But how can you overcome the situation? So if they read this book, you see how Paul overcome? Then we can overcome too. First, we must understand what is the difference between joy and happiness. Joy and happiness. The Bible used the word joy to describe something different than happiness. Happiness is usually come from external effect. External effect. For example, in your age, if your parent bought you a new cell phone,
wow,
iPhone 6,
wow,
you like it? Well, you cannot even buy it now, right? It's not out yet. But let's say if your mom promised you, hey, after YTTC, if you go to YTTC and buy iPhone 6, what do you have? Do you feel okay? Yes, I'll be happy, right? So you have a new cell phone, new car, let's say, move to a new computer, new house. It gives you some kind of happiness for a short while. It's because happiness comes from external or physical things. You buy new things or you achieve a new status, you feel happy. But because material is limited, the happiness come from material will also be limited. Because human heart cannot be totally satisfied with material. You always need more to maintain the same kind of happiness. So that's why if you only rely on physical things, you will not be truly happy. Yeah, you'll be happy for a short time. Just like you go for a nice dinner, a nice meal, right? You're very happy. But after you eat it, if you're unsatisfied, next morning you're hungry again. You won't be happy for yesterday what you ate, right? Yesterday what you eat? Chow mein, congee, right? Last night what you eat? Yu dan. But you forget already, unless I remind you here, right? But you're hungry, you say, oh, I'm waiting for lunch now. So, this satisfaction from the world is short-lived. But Paul is focusing about joy. Joy is from within. Joy is from God. The true joy can only be attained when you have a good relationship in the Lord. You have to be in the Lord. So that's why the theme of the book of Philippians. If you want to have true joy, you have to be in the Lord. So from this book, let's see how can we have true joy. First, if you want to have true joy, You must always be thankful to the Lord. Always give thanks to the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Next. I thank you every time I think about you. Now, Paul was not writing this in the beach of Hawaii, drinking a martini, lying down under the sun umbrella, enjoying the breeze. No. If you were in Hawaii, I'm enjoying your holiday, you say, thank the Lord, right? giving me a wonderful holiday. But Paul in a prison, but he was not even thinking about the prison. What is he thinking? He was thinking about the church in Philippi. And every time he think about the church in Philippi, he was able to think about something quite positive, so that he give thanks to the Lord. And at the same time, he will forget the negative. It's not that he totally forget about it, but he will not pay attention to it, right? Our mind is very special, that God gives us the ability to focus on certain things. While you're focusing on certain things, you will not care too much about other things that you are not in focus. If you're focusing on the things that God has given you, then you'll be happy. But you focus on the things that God did not give you. You complain that why I preach the gospel, why I'm in chain, why nobody is with me, why? If you ask why, you'll not be happy. Write it down. Next time you suffer, don't ask why. Why? Because don't ask why. Because you have no answer. God will not tell you why they have to suffer. At that time, you will not understand. But when you look back many years later, you may understand. But at that time, you will not understand. So Paul didn't ask, why I have to suffer? Why me? Why other workers are so free? I have to be here. But he focused on the thing that he should thank God for. Now, brother and sister, we have to learn to be thankful. Thankful for the things that God has given us. Not being complaining about what God has not given us. Right? Have you heard about a saying, some kids in the United States or UK complain, I don't have a nice shoes, right? Mom, you must buy me a Nike or a Reebok, right? I cannot wear just any brand. They complained to the mom. One day, the mom showed him the picture. Don't you know, in Africa and India, some children born without feet. You see someone born without feet, and you're complaining you don't have a Reebok or Nike? The child feels so ashamed. Right? You may complain about a job. Every morning, you have to wake up for your go to job. But somebody, they don't even have the health to get off the bed to go to work. So there are many things. If you're complaining your family is not that harmony, it's not that nice, it's not that happy that you expected, but at least you have a family. Someone born without a family, they are orphans. They don't even have a home to go back. So many things you can keep going on and on and on. Right? You can complain the water bottle is only it's half empty, right? But you can also thank God for what? At least it's half filled. So it really depends on perspective. So next time, if you try to complain, you're not very happy about your current life, really should bring it to Africa, live in 1 year. I still remember the first time I go to Africa, when I come back, everything so wonderful. Take a hot shower, so wonderful. Drink a hot coffee, so wonderful. Every meal I eat here, so wonderful. So, the first secret of being joyful is always give thanks to God. Secondly, let's read verse 12. Next. Verse 13. The second secret of attaining joy is to find the value in your suffering. To find the value in your suffering. Suffering is not pleasant. But if suffering can bring some value, then in your heart, you will have joy. Paul is looking at his current situation right now. He really thanked God. He really happy. Why? Because what he is going through now is for the prospering of the gospel. Why? Because he was being locked up. He may have chance to preach to prison, the fellow prisoner. And because he was locked up, other members saw the situation, saw Paul, he's not losing faith, and other members outside, they even preach more vigorously. So because of one person suffering, outside are being edified. So that's why he is joyful. He finds the value in suffering. Now, God will not do something without any meaning. Maybe compared to other person, you are less fortunate. Maybe your family is not that complete. Maybe you are born with a certain defect. Your health is not as good as others. Or there's something that you think is lacking in your life that you feel a little bit more suffering. But there must be a meaning to it. Right? Why God allow this to happen? If you have done nothing wrong, then why God let you suffer? Think about this. Think about what's the meaning behind. If God can allow this to happen so that through this suffering, you are comforted, and then you can comfort other people, or you can encourage other people, then your suffering will have meaning. We have a church brother. No, he was very fervent. He do a lot of holy work. But his health was not good. He was having cancer. And he has undergone so many times of operation. There's one operation that even all almost the whole stomach have to be removed. So because you have stomach cancer. So he was lying in the hospital recovering. But this brother, his faith is so strong. He didn't complain about his poor health. But rather, he always praised God. There are a lot of church members every day come to visit him. And they always pray together, sing hymns. And the patient on the same ward, look at this man. He said, wow, this man is different. He's not complaining about his pain or his cancer. And so many people visit him. Why are so many friends, he asked. He said, oh, this is my church member. And our church brother preached to him. Preached to the other patient who is not a believer. And testified to him about Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what happened? That person did not believe, but the truth seeker, the parents believe in Lord Jesus Christ and come into our church. Because of our brother suffering in the hospital, he preached in the hospital. And then two more souls were saved. So that suffering has value. Maybe it's not direct value you can see. But now you are suffering. Maybe God wants you to suffer, allow you to suffer so that you are more mature than your same age group. Really, you're sitting here, your maturity level is different. If you come from a tough life, you are more likely to be much more mature than a child raised up in a very good upbringing of family. If you live in a poor family, it's more likely that you are more mature than somebody from a wealthy family. Of course, it's not absolute. But if you're coming from a tough background, usually God will train you to be more mature. And being mature is an advantage to survive in this world and also to work for God. So don't complain, oh, why my family is poor? Why my parents is like that? Why? Why I have to face so much stress when I was young? That may be a meaning and a value for you to grow faster. Thirdly,
I'm
Before I go to thirdly, let's read verse 21. This is also a very famous verse in the book of Philippians. 21, next. Yeah. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's one of the most famous saying by Paul. He finds his meaning in his suffering. To live is Christ. Doesn't matter to live in prison or to live in a palace. But to live is Christ. This means it's not him who is living, but it's Christ living in him. So he is currently living out the life that Christ wants him to live, no matter where he is. So that's the meaning. So now maybe you're in school now, but your meaning is you have to live the life of Christ. Let people see Christ in you, right? So that is very, very important. Point number three, why can be joyful? Because we grow in the faith. Because we can grow in the faith. Let's read verse 25. When you grow in the faith and become very joyful. Grow bring joy. How many of you have grown something in your backyard, in your garden, or indoor plant? What do you grow, Christy? Sunflower. You grow from a seed, or how long does it take to fully grow? How do you feel when you see the flowers fully blossom?
Very happy, right?
Recently, my wife, in the beginning of the summer, actually, he planted some seed of lily flower in the backyard. So we saw that the seed sprout and then grow taller and taller. But at some certain point, it stopped. It stopped right there. And I told her, "No, you're not a green finger, you know. Whatever you grow, just die." She said, "Oh." I think maybe you didn't water it enough, or it even didn't give enough fertilizer. So she's not really a green finger, right? But you know what happened? Last week, before I come here, last week, suddenly the flower started to bloom. And it's white lily, so beautiful. After one flower came out, the other one started to bloom. And I went out to take some nice picture. I can show you if you're interested. So she told me she's very happy because she saw the seed. She didn't buy the plant and plant it there. She just saw the seed, and it takes the whole spring, and now it's summer, it's fully grown. So when you see something grow up, so joyful, because it's the power of life. Can you imagine? Just one seed can break the ground, go against all the adversity of cold weather in the spring, and bloom in summer. Spiritually, it's the same. What can bring you true joy? Because if you spiritually, you are growing up, you yourself know it, right? You are more understanding the truth. You're closer to God. You can practice what is being taught. And that brings you true joy because the life is there. Knowing more is not enough. You're copying, you're typing, but that's not growing yet. The word has to go into your mind and transform into action to be changed. When you go back home, you are changed, and you yourself will be the one who is happiest. And who is the next happiest person? Your mom and dad. Right? You say, "Hey, after go to YTTC, you're different." Right? Different. It happened in the past. If you really pray here, if you really feel the Spirit, if you really transformed by the word, when you go home, your parents will say, "Hey, you're different." Even my two sons, 12 years old, the twins I mentioned, this year they are 12. They went to Bible camp for 2 weeks. And really, thank God, not 2 weeks, only 5 days. I thought it was NYDS. 5 days, they're too young for 2 weeks. 5 days Bible camp, stay in the church, praying, reading Bible. And thank God they improved. Right? Improve. Wow, when they go home, they're more obedient, right? More
more gentle, no more fighting the day and night, no more bullying others. So you can see the difference. God can change a person. So when you are growing in the faith, you'll be so joyful. Next, you can read chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Chapter 2, verse 1, yeah. Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. The fourth secret of being joyful is you must have good fellowship in Christ. You have to have good fellowship. Being a Christian cannot be just like one person surviving this heavenly journey. You need a community. You need a fellowship. Fellowship just means sharing. Sharing a lot of things, encouraging each other so that you can be joyful. So verse 2, Paul said, if there's any fellowship in the Holy Spirit, any love, any same-minded, make my joy complete. So this joy is really related to fellowship. Fellowship is the key to a joyful life. There's a saying, no man is an island. Spiritually, it also can apply. Right? If you go into the church, you say, oh, I only worship Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what happened in the church. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want trouble. I just come and pray and go home. Do you think you're happy like that? You may stay off trouble, right? But you will not be happy. You will not be joyful. When you come into the church, nobody cares about you. Nobody knows you. Nobody talks to you. You'll not be joyful at all. So, being joyful is you will have fellowship. But sometimes we have the wrong concept about fellowship. What does fellowship mean? Some youth group, they organize fellowship. They say, oh, fellowship, okay, what do we do this fellowship? You know, there's a new movie coming out. Right, Frozen has come out. Oh, so let's go to see Frozen. Oh, Captain America came out. So what they go to see movie. Or they say, wow, after church, a long day, let's go fellowship. Where do we hang out? Bubble tea. There are bubble tea here? Yeah, already. Yeah. Bubble tea come from Taiwan, but now spread the whole world. Even Vancouver and Toronto, no many place bubble tea. Some people say, oh, let's fellowship. Hey, we got a new video game come out. Let's go to my home and test it out. Fellowship. Is it fellowship? Well, you are sharing something, right? But it is not really the fellowship. If you look at what fellowship really means here, here is that fellowship must be what? Something in fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship of the Spirit. The key to true joy is the Spirit of God. Because Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can bring true joy because Holy Spirit is God. Only God can satisfy the heart. If the heart is satisfied by God, you'll be joyful. Even though you're living in prison, you'll be joyful like Paul. If your heart is not satisfied, even you live in a 5-star hotel, you'll not be happy. For example, if you lock up in a 5-star hotel for 1 month, you don't have to pay anything, but you lock up there, will you be happy? Well, you're happy for two days, right? But after the 3 days, you'll be boring. So it's true. But here you see in the church, everybody sleep on the ground, fighting for toilets, right? And then whole day classes. But why are you happy? Why are you joyful? Because of the Spirit. So fellowship have to be focused on the Spirit. So what is the best fellowship? not to watch a video game together, play video game, or not want to watch a movie together, not to drink bubble tea together. What's the best fellowship? Pray together. So if you're a youth leader, you're organizing your activity. If your activity only doing craft, cooking, going outside, your fellowship will not touch the heart of the people. Your fellowship has to be focused on God. And the number one is prayer. You must bring the young people together. We have pray together. No matter what kind of activity we do next, at least pray 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes together. Deeper prayer. Bring it together. And then you can have true joy. Now what kind of fellowship? What kind of sharing? In your heart, is there any mercy, love? This means care for each other. Fellowship have to focus on care of each other. You have to share. What kind of burden do you have? What kind of problems do you have? What kind of difficulties are you facing? Can I pray for you? Can you talk it out? Can I listen? I'll keep it to myself if you are really open up. We can share. So that is fellowship. Focus on prayer and love and care in God's word. So if you have true fellowship, you will be joyful. Fifthly, true joy comes from the change that we have in our faith. Chapter 2, the change and growth in our faith. Chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. See, Paul saw Philippi church, they have changed so much. They have grown up so much. They even offer so much sacrifice to God. They are very happy. So that's related to growth too. Number six, how can Paul has joy? Chapter 2, verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. When I see him again, rejoice. He's talking about Epaphroditus. That means when we have reunion in Christ, you can be very, sometimes it can be very joyful. Right? Reunion in Christ can bring you quite much of joy. I went to my first NYTS was in 1993 back then. Were you born in 1993 yet? Some of you were not even born yet, right? The first time I attended NYTS in US 1993, and I met so many of my generation. We were studying together, having fun together, pray together. And after many years, I came back. At that time, I already became a preacher and went back to USA to help out the work. And I saw, hey, didn't we meet in UMITS? Wow, we were having fun together. We were sitting together, you know. And then we were talking together in the future with yourself, God. And I saw them, wow, they are really serving in the Lord. Some are church board members. Some are already very active in the church ministry. After a long time, even though we didn't keep in touch that much, but after a long time, we see each other in Christ. You don't have to keep in touch, but when you see each other, you feel so close, right? Because of geographically speaking, we are so busy. We don't keep in touch like every day or every month. But you see each other, wow, your heart immediately is so joyful. And then, okay, let's drink tea. Wow, let's talk about life. Let's talk about your church. So really, seeing brother and sister, the joy is so great than seeing a worldly friend. I don't have much worldly friend left now because most of my circle is in the church. I still have some old classmates in Hong Kong. I used to go back to Hong Kong and I call them out and have dinner together. But guess what? Those are my old-time friends. We grew up together. But when we sit down together, there's nothing much that I feel that we are in common. Even though we grew up together, the same high school, the best that we can talk maybe, oh, when we were in high school, what did we do, right? Make a mess and try to make trouble and, oh, that teacher's. But every time we get there, we talk the same thing. So boring, right? But you cannot talk about now, they won't open their hearts to you, right? Everyone has their own life. Everyone's life is different. They don't want you to know what they are doing in private, or they have the family. So after a while, I don't call them out anymore when I go back, because I don't find much in common with my worldly friends. You cannot share. But with brother and sister, it's different. Even though it's the first time we can sit down together, after pray together, we share God's word, we can share a whole lot. So that is very different. Especially we have old friend in church, reunion together. So much joy. So maybe 20 years from now, you met me somewhere in Canada, I'll be joyful too, right? I remember your face, probably not exactly your name, because so many of you, right, 150. So my memory is getting weaker. But I remember your face, and we talk, and then, oh, 20 years ago, in Newcastle, we were having class, you're bringing me the lemon tea. Okay, I remember you, right? So it should be so joyful that we are together in Christ. Reunion. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Jump to verse 8. Underline these two verses, chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, and verse 8. Where does true joy come from? True joy comes from having the right spiritual value of your life. Having the true spiritual or correct spiritual value. What is called value? Value system. Value system is, in your mind, what do you regard it as important? What do you see as important? That means, what does it have value? Right? For example, if you look at a kid, if you ask a kid, 3 years old kid, do you want a pack of candy or do you want a $100 bill? Unless the kid is smart enough, right? Every day watch TV. But usually, 3 years old, pack of candy is more important, right? And then as of 6 years old, you want, I give you a nice, I don't know what kind of toy, the hottest toy. Nowadays, kids don't play toys anymore. They only play iPad. It's so sad, right? But in our age, we want a remote control car or helicopter, remote control helicopter. Wow, that's look fun too, right? You ask 5 years or 6 years old, do you want, do I give you the helicopter, remote control helicopter, or do you want a diamond ring? Of course, throw away the diamond ring, right? Who cares about diamond ring? I want the remote control things, right? But you ask a sister, right, 25 years old, do you want a diamond ring? Of course, that diamond ring is very valuable. So, when you grow up, your value will change. You will change. When you look back in your life, in the past, something you regret very special. When you grow up, you think, it is just child play. I went to a house of a brother. He collects so much Lego stuff, the thing he built during his years. He treats them as a precious achievement, right? But later, when he grow older, he just give it all to his friend and just let them go on, just pack it in their garage. Because when you grow, when you truly grow up, your value will be different. What you regarded as very important, but no more important. So Paul, he has changed in value. Verse 8 tells us that because of knowing Christ, he regarded all things as a loss. What is all things? His achievement in Judaism. He used to be a Pharisee, right? People respect him. He used to have fame. He used to have a lot of things. Verse 8, he counted all things lost when he gained Christ. So this is a change of value. So no more important. Judaism, no more important. The law, no more important. The achievement, no more important. But only one thing important. What is it? Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, Lord Jesus Christ and His saving grace is the most important. So that's why the value changed. From now, everything He does is focusing. He traveled everywhere, even He suffered, but for Lord Jesus Christ. And He thinks that has value. And because of this, He's extremely joyful. I met a church deacon. He is in his 50s, about 10 years older than me. He was helping a church seminar in one of the cities in Canada. And he shared with us, he told me, actually he's a very successful accountant by profession. He works in a corporate and he's very busy. And at the same time, he participated in the church work and he's a deacon too. So there was a youth asking him, he said, "Hey deacon, how do you survive doing holy work, family and professional work?" Because we observe in the church, some youth when in your age, they're very active. But after they got married, they're less active. After they have a few kids, less active. And then after they promoted very high level in the society, they're less active. But this deacon is the contrary. He always maintained his commitment in the church. So some youth ask him, "How did you survive?" They use the word survive. This means it's hard. It's something you have to do, but it's so difficult to do. But how did the deacon share with us? He said, he replied, "You know, I didn't survive. I don't see it as a survival, but rather I treat it as a grace of God." He said, "For me, working in the world has no meaning. I just earn my money, pay my bills, right, to support the family. But those work has no meaning. What bring me meaning? Working for God." So even though I'm not a full-time minister, he said, "but my full-time job is in the church, not in the world." So he used this concept. That's why he's very joyful when he serves the Lord. He's not like, "Oh, surviving, 很辛苦, right? Oh, 三福, and then complaining." No, it's not like that kind. His heart is totally dedicated. So that make him, give him the joyful heart. Continuing, finishing up. Let's read chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Next. Seven. This is another secret of being joyful, and that passage is most loved by many Christians. Why can Paul be so joyful? Because he has no worries in his heart. Well, how can life without be worried? Impossible, right? We have so many worries. You worry about your job. If you're in school, you worry about your school mark, right? How many of you have graduated already? Yeah, and you worry about where's the next job, right? And then, how many of you are single? Everyone, right? Except me and Olivia. You worry about, "Oh, where's my wife, future wife, where's my future husband?" After you get married, you worry about, "Oh, where do I have money to buy my house? How do I buy a house, where's my next kid?" And then after you have kids, you worry, "Oh, will you grow up nice?" You keep worrying. Even until you're very old, you keep worrying. But worry will eat our joy away. If your heart is always worried something, you'll not be joyful. But in Christ, there's something special. We can entrust our burden to Him. So if you're worried, pray. Ask God to guide you. You worry about nothing. Just entrust it to Him. Pray until you have peace. Verse 7. Peace in the heart is crucial to joy. If you pray enough, if you trust enough, you'll have peace God will not solve your problem right away. God will not show you where's your next job right away, where's your future husband or wife right away. But you pray until you have peace, and when you have peace, you don't worry anymore. You just totally trust. Just like a baby sleeping in the mother's breast, resting. It's just so much joy. Lastly, verse 10. Verse 18. The last secret about being joyful is being content. You have to feel content about what God has given you. You have to say to God, "Oh, thank you, I have enough." You have to say to people, "Yes, I have enough. It's okay. I have no more need." Just like Paul said, verse 18, "I have everything." He didn't say, "Oh, I'll give you a list of, okay, next time you visit my prison, huh? Bring 25 items, 20 box, 3 electronic gadgets, 5 dim sum, 3 top jackets I have to change every day. I need so much." The more physical needs you have, the more physical desire you have, the less is your happiness. For example, if you go to the shopping mall, right, you love everything. But in your pocket, you don't have money to buy it. You don't feel happy, right? If you look at people's cell phone, wow, the screen is so big, my screen is so small. You don't feel happy. I'm still using the old style cell phone, the screen is so small. Sometimes I look at other people's cell phone, wow, the screen is so big. Do they want to change it? But it's okay, my eye is good, I can stick with the small one. The old one, small one. It's okay, I keep telling myself, I don't need more. It's okay, I can get used to it, right? But if you keep telling yourself, no, I need upgrade, better, faster, bigger, sharper. How can you have so much money every month or every year upgrade so many new cell phones outside, right? So many cameras outside, how can you keep upgrading? So, limit your physical desire. Be content about what God has given you. Use it until it breaks down, right? Then you are joyful, very happy. Okay, let's pray in silence. Amen.